right now, as you're driving or listening or wherever you are, and you think about all the people in your life you have any conflict with, all of them, all right? If it's your mother about something that happened when you were two, if it's your neighbor, if it's your boyfriend or your wife or anybody, just kind of list them in your mind from the people that you hate the most, that you have the most trouble with, down to the ones who just annoy you. And you find out who all these people are, and you send them all love. All right? See, it's easy to send love to the people who smell good. It's easy to send love to the people who do the things you're supposed to do and who are nice to you. All right? That's not a test of love. When Christ was on the cross and someone threw a spear into his rib, his reaction was, forgive them. You know, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And when I tell people that who claim to be Christians, and then they tell me who they hate and who they don't, I say, you are a Christian because that is the title that you have placed on yourself, but you're not Christ-like. I mean, and that's the test. Be Christ-like. Don't be a Christian. That's an easy thing to do. Be part of the orthodoxy. Anybody can do that. Just call themselves that and go to church on Sunday. How do you think? All right? Now, you take and you do that, and you send that out, and every time you get hate in your life or anything, you practice sending out love to that person. Even if it's somebody who's being nasty to you on an airplane or somebody at a bakery who's stepping ahead of you or whatever, and you practice letting people in on the freeway and getting the hate out, the anguish out, the wanting to get ahead of somebody else, the wanting to prove you're better than somebody else. And you make that a way of life, okay? So that means you're filled up with love and you're giving love away. Then love starts coming back into your life and you become free because it's like that hate that you harbor inside of you is a poison that's worse than a cancer, and it's worse than any alcohol. It never goes away. It just continues to eat at you. And until you are able to do that, you can't experience no-limit living or self-actualization or whatever you want to call it. I have to do this in my own life. I do it all the time. I had someone who was suing me, and they wanted to just take advantage of the position that I'm in life and to make some money off of it. And for 2 years, even as recently as 3 or 4 years ago, I was still mad about that and mad at this person. How could they do that? And who was this attorney that took this case? And how dare they? And I fought it and all of that. And all I got out of it was being right, a big legal bill, and months of anguish and pain. Then when I took this person and I began to send this person love and say that this is just what they want to do. See, that's the test, and that's the difference between East and West. In the East, they say, that's a test for you. That's to see what you're made out of. There's a blessing in there. Try to find the blessing in that pain. And stop telling yourself that it shouldn't be happening. It is. And I started doing that, and in a month's time, the lawsuit was dropped. I started being much more productive. My writing improved. My complexion improved. I began to feel better as a human being. I could walk down the beach, and I had, my secretary said, you have a lilt almost to you. It's like you're almost walking on air when all of that stuff was finally sent away. I have people who owe me money who haven't paid it back over the years. And you think about that, you start getting really mad. How dare this person? I lent them money and that's stealing and they've taken my money and they said they would. I send them copies of my books now. And I've dropped them. I've forgotten about them. I don't need the money. I don't believe in not paying your bills back. I pay them as soon as they come in. But some people are in a place where that's where they have to be still. I don't want to be owned by their behavior. If I'm upset because they refuse to pay money back to me, their refusal to pay money back to me is the source of my upset. I'm allowing somebody else's behavior, which is anathema to me, to control my life at this moment. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. How can I stop from doing that? Only one way. Forgiveness. You got to forgive it. You got to let it go. You don't have to forget. You just have to let it go. You don't have to call them up and tell them. You don't have to send them flowers or books if that's not what you want to do. You have to let it go. And when you let it go, that's called non-attachment. You are no longer attached to it. And when you're not attached to it, then you're free to be the creative genius that you are. And until you do that, you have to do that with everyone in your life. That's a principle that works so magnificently. I'll give you another good example. I had dinner Friday night with a man who was going through a horrible divorce. Horrible divorce. He's an attorney, and his wife wants half of his law practice, and she wants the children, and she wants all of his money, and apparently she had an affair, and then he found out, and they had this beautiful marriage, and now they're just going through all this hatred. And he was sitting across from me at this beautiful restaurant down in Fort Lauderdale that we go to, and you could see the tears in his eyes. You could see the anguish in him. You could see that he had aged. This had been going on for 3 or 4 months. He had aged 10 years in 3 or 4 months, full of pain. And he wanted to spend the whole night telling me how right he was and how wrong she was. And he kept telling me that she had no right to do this, and how dare she treat me this way, and you know that she even left letters there, and she was seeing him, and she actually brought this man over to my own home. And he said, so what do you think? I said, you need to be right, don't you? And he said, well, I don't need to be right. What do you think of that? I mean, does she have a right to do any of that? I said, yes. What do you mean, yes? I said, she did it. You can't undo what she's done. Well, he said, what do you think I should do? Do you think? I said, I think you should forgive her. He said, I already did that. I already told her that, and she didn't. I said, no, I don't have to tell her anything to forgive her. I think you should just let it go. What are you defending? You look 10 years older than you did 4 months ago. You're so racked with pain that you can hardly get up in the morning, and your practice is all going to hell. You are depressed. Your blood pressure is going up. You're not eating. You're losing weight much too quickly. And you're suffering. And you're suffering because you're not willing to forgive her. And I said, it has nothing to do with her. I said, this is your test. And I wish I could get inside your head and let you know that until you are willing to send her love for having behaved in a way that you find so horrendous, that until you're able to do that, I said, eventually you'll do it, because otherwise you won't survive. The organism cannot survive. Obviously, you're killing yourself right now. It's just a slower process. It's going to take a little while. And until you stop killing yourself, that sooner or later you're going to have to do it. So why not choose sooner and just forgive her? You don't have to remarry her. And he said, well, what about the money and all that? I said, how much does she want? And he listed it. I said, give her that and a little more. He said, what? I said, just give her more. You'll get it back. You will. It'll come back to you. Give her more. Well, and I said, and pay it in advance. Give her the money in advance. Let her know that you are not interested in being married, if that's what it is, and that's fine, but that you're not going to carry this around. And practice it, and practice it. And you will find a serenity and a beauty and a peace in your life that you never thought could be there before. You never believed that it could be there. And it's right there. It's right there for you. All you have to do is forgive. All you have to do is understand that she's a human being and she made a mistake. You haven't. You haven't made a mistake because she got caught and you haven't, or whatever. It's like, let all of that go, and you will find so much enrichment in your life, because now you won't be using up your present moments to convince yourself how right you are. It won't be important anymore. Being right is not necessary any longer. Just being happy is. And one of the great secrets of the universe is that there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. You must carry that around inside of you.
When you say forgiveness, you're not talking about the attitude that is, I see this person who has wronged me, he's hurt me, I will overlook that. That's not what you're talking about. It isn't the perception that the other person has hurt me.
No, see, first of all, the perception you have to get is that if I'm hurt, I'm hurting myself because I'm in charge of me, nobody else is. And my hurts are coming from my telling myself that she had no right to do this or shouldn't have done it or was wrong in doing it. And in fact, that's meaningless because the world is the way it is, independent of your opinion about it. Right? And everything that's happened has happened and can't be unhappened just because you wish it were so. That's number one. Number two is all I'm saying about forgiveness is that you become non-attached to your pain, to your anguish. You detach yourself from it. You say, that isn't mine, because you won't be at peace until you do it. You carry it around, and every bit of it that you carry around will destroy you a little bit more, and it'll just take time off of your life. So I'm not saying you forget and pretend, oh, this didn't happen. You become unattached to it.
There's an analogy. On the physical side, when we experience pain, that tells us we're making a mistake someplace. Mm-hmm. We've done something wrong. On the emotional side, emotional pain is also sending us a signal. It's telling us we're making a mistake. We're doing mm-hmm. something wrong. If you're experiencing some uncomfortable feeling, notice it's trying to teach you something. Mm-hmm. There is an adjustment that needs to be made. What is it? Not to look at the problem, but to see in it what the lesson is. And to not be attached to wanting to be right rather than feel at the peace.
That needing to be right is a big one, isn't it? We get so consumed with that in our lives. I know people who just go to great lengths to prove how right they are. They'll even die. That happened at O'Hare Airport not too long ago. I was running out at the airport, and in the parking lot, they had only two exit gates to let all the cars out, and one of them didn't have an employee, so there was only one gate. Now, many of the people had been waiting as long as an hour and a half to get out of the lot. An hour and a half, 90 minutes, all right? And the computer that controls this arm wasn't working, so they were just letting people sit there and sit there. Now, they could move it up manually by hand, And many of these people had flown to Chicago and were here for business, one kind or another, and they couldn't get out, and their frustration level was getting higher and higher. So finally, a group of them came over, and they started getting out of the cars and walking up to find out what was going on after 90 minutes of this. And they said, look, we're just going to lift the arm. You're going to have to forget about the computer and all of your reasons for keeping us victimized, and if you want us to pay, pay, but tell us what it is, we're going to get out of here. And the guard in there said, no, you can't do that, because then our records will be off. And the records became more important than all these people that they were supposed to be serving there. And when they started to lift the gate and a car went through, the guy jumped in front of the car. He was willing to die to be right, even though his rightness was abusing all of these people. I mean, the system is designed to serve people, not to abuse them. And even though it was doing that, he would rather see them abused. And it was so important for him to be right that he would have died in the process if he had to. You talked about the emotional pain and so on. I went through some real tough emotional problems going through a divorce in my life and then relationship with my wife and all of that. And I was getting signals, as you mentioned. The signals were that I was destroying myself, that it was very painful and difficult. I continued to be victimized and right all the time. And you're right, you have to learn how to see the blessing or the gift or the opportunity in these things that are occurring in your life. You must be able to see that and to say, what can I get out of this? And to understand that you have the ability to think what you want to about the things that are going on in your life. You don't have to think in, oh yeah, I'll show you terms, or I'm going to be right and I'm going to beat you down no matter what, or you had no right to treat me that way, or whatever. You don't have to think that way. You have many other options. If someone says something to you that is nasty, one option is to get angry and upset. Another is to ignore it, or to say that's just their opinion, or that's just where they are right now. This is just called the process of enlightenment. That's what it is. It's just becoming enlightened. Because enlightenment is really becoming unattached, the process of forgiving, imaging yourself the way you want to, until it becomes a habit. You see, healthy thinking is a habit. Just like neurotic thinking is a habit. It's just habit you've been practicing for a long, long time. After you start practicing the kind of behaviors that I'm talking about here today, they become natural after a while. Very much like the not taking a cigarette and the not taking the caffeine and watching the amount of sugar that goes into your system and nutrition and vitamins and running and exercising and all of the things that we know are good for us. They become habitual when we do them enough and practice them enough. They just become a way of life until you get to the point where they own you, because that's what you are. Okay, when I say it owns you, that means that you are being it. The same thing applies to changing a bad habit to a good habit. People think, well, it's not going to last. That's easy. That sounds nice, and I will forgive everybody and all of that, but it won't last. When I see things that used to upset me, I wonder how I ever got upset at those things any longer. I wonder that. I heard people arguing this morning. I was staying at the hotel, and I heard the screaming and hollering going down below the hotel, and this hate being hurled back and forth over, I think it was a scratch in the door of a car, and they were ready to shoot each other, and they were ready to kill each other, and the horrible things they were saying to each other. And I thought, I don't know how to do that anymore. I don't know how to, because I don't have that kind of stuff inside of me anymore. I wouldn't get myself to the place where it would destroy me. And the process of enlightenment is really the process of gradually practicing new ways of thinking, new ways of reacting, sending out more love, until you just get to a point where you see the folly in all of it. You see the folly in all of the anger and all of the hate and all of the depression. And you see it all as within your capabilities. And you can almost soar through life. You go with the flow, which is a cute little saying, but you go with it so much that you stop fighting the river. You stop trying to fight the currents and reverse them. And you go with it so well that you're overlooking so much. You're letting all of that go by you. And it becomes a very natural, wonderful process that if we do it with ourselves and we do it with enough people and we do it with enough children, we'll transform the whole world. It's called consciousness. It's called being conscious.
Isn't it great that we can achieve the level of mastery that you're talking about, the level of peace and fulfillment, without needing the world to change first, or without needing other people to conform to our ideas of what they ought to be?
Yeah.
We do control it, don't we?
Everything you need to be completely enlightened, you already have. And it's only when you let go of what owns you, just let go of it, and all you have to do is let go. I'll think of a good image, and the image is, think of a prison cell, all right, and a bars. Think of yourself as standing in front of prison bars and holding on, saying, let me out, let me out. And then you look around, and to the left, it's all open space. And to the right, it's all open space. And you turn around, you're looking back of you, and it's all open space back there. And all you're doing, because of your tunnel vision, and you're only looking straight ahead at the only way you know how to do it, you're imprisoned by bars and a cell that is open. All you have to do is walk around it. And all of those entrapments and that cell that you are living in, just look to the left and look to the right and looking back at you. It's wide open. It's wide open. That's the image that I think of over and over again. And I'm not saying that people aren't going to continue to get angry and upset. And in fact, I don't think there's anything wrong with anger. That may sound really strange. I think if anger mobilizes you to do something about conditions that need to be corrected in the world, then by all means, use your anger to mobilize you if you need to. I get angry at starvation. I get angry at children dying all over the world because of malnutrition. I get angry at crime and the proliferation of guns in our society and the fact that people shoot each other all the time and we don't even pay much attention to a human life anymore. It doesn't even make the newspapers, all these people shooting each other. But my anger mobilizes me to do something about it, to speak out about it, to write about it, to maybe try to make a difference, maybe talk to a group of kids in a high school. Mobilizing is great, but being immobilized by it, wherein it keeps you from acting to do anything about it. You see, it's very irresponsible to need to be right. Extremely irresponsible. And almost all negative emotions are very, very irresponsible. You see, if you're going through a horrible divorce, as my friend was doing, and you are very upset about that, you can't do your job. You can't be with your children. You can't get along with your coworkers. You can't be healthy. You can't help anybody else to be healthy. You can hardly do anything except get more sick, older, tired, depressed. That's all you can do. It's the most irresponsible choice you can make. And it's a convenient payoff. I mean, that's one of the great payoffs. You can use that anguish that you're experiencing to keep you from being an effective human being. And you have a perfect cop-out every time when someone says to you, why aren't you getting anything done? How do you expect me to get anything done if you knew what's going on in my life? And you just use that. That's a wonderful excuse. It's a great excuse. It's a cop-out. Just like guilt is a terrific irresponsible choice for a human being to make. As long as I sit here and feel guilty about what I did or what I shouldn't have done or how could I have done that, then I don't have to do anything to correct it. I don't have to do any of that at all. So I just irresponsibly choose guilt and feel bad, and I can only experience guilt now, in this moment, and the more of it that I experience, the less likely I am able to do anything about it, and so I just become this irresponsible emotional wreck who not only makes my life, my own life, unpleasant and unworkable, but largely makes those around me suffer as well. Very irresponsible, all of these things. Responsibility is being loving and kind and decent and good to others and to yourself particularly, so that you fill yourself up with this love and then you can give it away everywhere. And even if there are things going on in your life that you don't like, you are equipped to be responsible to do something, to look for solutions. If you're focused on your pain and how awful it is, then you simply stay there with that. Very irresponsible choice. This is the